Welcome to the first edition of the Blue Yorker, a New York Rangers podcast powered by the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, joined by my good friend and co-host, Cody Frankel. Cody, game three sucked. Let's just put that out there. Burn the tape. What'd you think? How was your weekend?
Weekend sucked again. COVID. I feel like I'm in Star Wars. COVID strikes back. Mm-hmm. But you know what?
You've had COVID for a month now?
Dude, basically, no, 9 days. Today's day nine, but tomorrow's the last day, and then I will be good to go. So I'm happy to get out there in the world and smell some flowers and see some beautiful sights of the Rangers winning.
We do owe an apology to Ryan Mead and Greg Kaplan. We didn't attend the viewing party at the gin mill. Cody obviously has COVID, and the hangover got the best of me. So I wasn't able to make it out. Instead, I just ordered a $80 sushi platter with my friend, and we tried to tackle that before the Rangers game, and we lost just as bad as the Rangers did in that battle.
Too much orange juice can give you a tummy ache. Yeah. I get it. So yeah, we do have to talk about game three. I agree, burn the tape, but let's just get to it. I thought first and foremost, Nemeth was terrible. He was -3 on the night, really was off. I don't even know what else to say about him other than, you know, I hope the Rangers can buy him out this summer. What's your thoughts on him? And, you know, before we get into some of the other players.
Well, I guess on that note too, we should mention who our guest is, because we talked about Patrick Nemeth with our guest today, Colin Stevenson from Newsday. Great interview with him. Yeah. Great interview with him coming up. But on that note, game three for me was, I knew going into this game, they'd have to weather the storm. Like, everyone knows that the first home game of any series, like whether it's game three or game one, the home team is going to come out guns blazing for the most part, right? Like the Rangers did it in game one, but Pittsburgh weathered that storm. They only went into intermission down 1-0. The Rangers dug themselves in too big of a hole. You can't go down 4-1 into a second period. Yeah, sure, they dominated and came back, but I think they emptied the tank in the second period. I mean, like I said, if that game is 2-1 going into the second, I think the Rangers, you know, the whole mindset is different. It's like, okay, we didn't play great, but we're in this game. Going in 4-1, they're like, okay, we have to climb this whole mountain to get back. And then on top of that, we got to find a way to win. So, you know, I mean, it is a tough thing. Like, I thought their chances were great going into that third period, but then, you know, the one thing that's been our bread and butter all year is the power play couldn't convert. And that happens sometimes. It sucks that it happened in that game where they had all momentum on their side.
All in one period too.
Yeah. I mean, but then again too, like, I think we got to give credit to Alexander Georgiev. I thought he played great. I know that game winning. Yeah. Go.
What? Before you say that. Mm-hmm. So I did want to talk about Gallant, because Gallant made some very big decisions in game three that basically had the weight of our win or loss in his hand. You know, he decided to pull Igor after one period, which it equates to a few things here, right? Number one, the Pittsburgh fans probably think they won the night because they ran him out of the building. Number two, you know, he clearly was off. So you could have made a reason for either let him ride it out and probably call it a loss and stay or pull him. I agree. No, I'm agreeing with, agree with the pull. You know,
I would have yanked him after the third one.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely didn't look sharp. I think that bringing Georgiev, regardless of, you know, our thoughts on him, he came in an extremely tough position, and he didn't make flashy saves. Like, he didn't make like crazy flashy saves, but he did everything right except for, you know, that goal that probably shouldn't even happen in like a U15s game. But, you know, it was really, really tough because he had such a good night, and then letting in that goal, like, just deflated the whole situation. I feel like Georgiev always does something like that, like, you know, time and time again, unfortunately, but until that point, I mean, he was the only reason we were still in the game. I mean,
you know what really sucks for him even more? He gets credit for the loss because the Rangers scored 4 goals.
Yeah.
That sucks for him.
it does suck for him. I thought he played really well, for 95% outside of that one goal. But even letting in that goal, he kept the Rangers in it the rest of the game for the last 5 minutes before they pulled him. Like, the Pittsburgh was in our zone for 5 straight minutes before they pulled Georgiev.
Well, talk about that, because I know you were pissed about Gallant pulling the goalie so early.
Yeah. So that was the second big decision where Gallant weighed, you know, the outcome in his hand. And I thought it was a horrible call. I thought pulling him there before, you know, a minute 30 seconds or a minute 40 seconds, whatever. They had to give him another minute out there because Pittsburgh dominated. They dominated us in our freaking zone for God knows how long. And then they pull him. It's like, ah.
Well, that's where I disagree with you, though, because, dude, there's no guarantee that the Rangers were going to possess the puck in Pittsburgh zone. You have an offensive zone faceoff.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
I think it's a lose-lose for Gallant. Like, he does, if he doesn't pull Georgiev, and then there's like a minute 10 or a minute 5 left because the Rangers haven't possessed the puck when they were getting dominated by Pittsburgh, then it's like, oh, Gallant should have pulled him sooner. You know, it's like...
The issue, though, is you knew the second that puck dropped, they were scoring. Like, they literally... Dude, we were playing an actually okay third period until the last 10 minutes, and it's like a flip literally switched, and the intensity... and the energy out of the team just evaporated. And that's when they started getting dominated in our own zone. And, you know, it's just like, yeah, I get they were in there for a long time and we finally got it into their zone. We had a, you know, we had a offensive zone faceoff and so on, but one, we're not a good offensive zone faceoff team. Mm-hmm. So going against, I think that was against Crosby. So you should have known you weren't getting that fucking draw. So it's like, I just don't agree with the call. Like, I understand why he did it. I just don't think you do that in a 4-4 playoff game. Like, or sorry, 5-4 playoff game when there's still so much time left. That
it was like 2.5.
Dude, it was 2:44.
2:44.
Like, that's a long time to pull the goalie, especially when they were playing at 6x us in terms of intensity. Mm-hmm. So it was like, you know, I get the lose-lose comparison, but I just think that was the wrong call. And it's such a shame because I thought he made such a good call pulling Shesty after one that, like, to me, it kind of takes away from his night. But
I mean, either way, I think Igor needed to rest. Like, it was so obvious that he was exhausted. I mean, the guy played, what, 10 periods in five nights?
Four and a half days. Like, 10 and a half periods.
Yeah. And Domingue came in the second overtime. So he had, you know, way fresher legs than Igor did. But then again, too, like, you got to look at the power play guys, like, you know, Mika, Strome, Fox.
We got to capitalize.
We had three power plays in the third period. Yeah. And then on top of that, they're playing 5-on-5 pretty much, you know, one in every three shifts. Like, those guys must have been exhausted also. Like, they're playing a lot. When you get three power plays in the third period, like, you're out there a lot. And then you got to remember, too, that fucks up the entire lines because not all those guys play on the same line. So it's like, you know, then the third line and fourth line are probably playing a lot. And you got to make sure everyone's kind of back in that rotation. So you can just tell that, like, they didn't have that extra step in the third period simply because they went balls to the wall in the second period, which is great. They got back in the game, but not converting on that power play really just killed everything.
Yeah, it was definitely a momentum killer. And it was a tough one to swallow. I think game three for me might've been even tougher than our 3-0 loss because it was just like, and here's why. Mm-hmm. They straight up teased us. We were getting crushed and the game was over. The game was over in the first period. Nobody in their right minds thought we were coming back from that game. Like, nobody thought we were coming back to tie that game. Or here we go.
No, I was just going to say, the amount of people I saw on Rangers Twitter posting their live bets, we're coming back. Like, the Rangers were like plus 950, I think, after the first period. I saw so many people like, and there were a couple people who were like, the season's over, this game's over, like, they suck, whatever. But the amount of people that, like, thank God I didn't live bet it, because if I live bet it and that happened, I would have been even more crushed.
Oh, yeah. It was just really, really tough. And that's why I think it was a tougher pill to swallow than game one, because they literally teased us, made an incredible comeback with our backup goalie, who's not that good. Mm-hmm. And it just had all the, you know, I thought we were going to game one then, where we had the writing on the wall to make it an incredible comeback win, Cinderella story that game. And we just, you know, we just blew it on a soft goal in the third with 8 minutes left. And it was, it definitely kind of sucked the life out of me a little bit. But so that being said, do you have any final thoughts on the game?
All I know is my heart can only handle so many more goalie interference reviews. I mean, I actually thought that was a good goal. Like that was going in regardless, but had they, God forbid, called off the cop goal, I would have lost my mind.
Yeah.
Dude, but there's a constant theme going on in these playoffs, man. There's a goalie interference call in like every single game. And it's
why inconsistent. Why do you think they're being so much more critical on that penalty?
Not to get off topic, but in the Bruins Hurricanes game today, did you watch that? That call was horrendous. The puck was underneath Swayman, or not Swayman. Was it
Swayman? Swayman was Bruins goalie.
Yeah, it was underneath Swayman. No, wait. the or call Ronta? Is the Bruins underneath Ronta. Sorry. Yeah. Underneath Ronta. And I forgot which Bruin it was, but he comes around the net and like whacks at the puck while it's underneath Ronta's pads. And the puck then becomes loose and the Bruins put it in and they called that a good goal. Like you clearly could not see the puck from any angle. It was covered. It's blowing my mind how inconsistent these goalie interference calls are being made. Like I have no idea what this rule is anymore.
You know what's funny? Do you remember a couple months ago when I said the one rule we should get rid of in hockey is the goalie interference rule and just completely define it? Remember?
Well,
it's just an undefined rule and it's bullshit. Like they need.
Well, what would you do?
I don't even know what I would do, but like this is what I would do. If a player skates are turned out and they get pushed into the goalie. And
well, that's,
and
you're just talking specifically about
Kaká. No. I will give you, that's true. But so if your name is Kaapo Kakko and your skates every are turned out, but no, I think if your skates are turned out and you're clearly trying to avoid contact of any goalie, that should be a goal, whether you're pushed, whether, you know, like whatever. And then another one is if I guess it would be in what? In reference to like the net being moved after like right as the goals go, like what was the call today?
The puck's going in. The call today was the puck was underneath Ronta's pads.
Did it end up going in?
Yeah, they poked it loose while it was underneath Ranta's pads. Like you could not even see
that's a goal. Like that's a goal.
Oh, you think that's a goal? I think that's no goal. see, even us, we're see the puck. The goalie had it covered.
How long till they blew the whistle? I mean, if they're blowing the whistle right away, I think that's a goal.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if the whistle was blown or not.
I think if he fully has like possession of the puck, like whatever, and it's like, there should be like here's the rule. There should be a 2 second rule. Okay. If they have the puck for 2 seconds, two full seconds,
then
plays dead. But if the puck's there and you blow the whistle right away and it's still not like covered and they poke it in, that's a fucking goal. Like, I'm sorry, that's a fucking goal. And it drives me nuts. Like, this rule drives me absolutely nuts.
But also in the Avs-Preds game, one guy gets, like, pushed into the Predators goalie. I think it was Ingram in net. And they, like, Ingram's also out of the crease, and they called it a good goal. So I think if the goalie's out of the crease, anything should be up for grabs.
Yeah, dude, if the goalie's out of the crease, it's fucking fair game.
Like honestly, Igor got laid out by Jeff Carter, and, like,
That was clean. That should be a rule. That was clean.
Like, you should be able to hit the goalie if he's out of the crease.
That was clean. Do you remember that goalie? Who was it who would just truck people?
That was...
Was that Arundel? That was Dell,
yeah, good call.
He would just truck people.
That was awesome.
Oh, man.
I love that. That was good. Yeah, that was Arundel. But yeah, this goalie interference thing, man, like it feels like every game there's going to be something. I don't know what it is, but it's getting really annoying and they got to figure it out in the offseason.
I agree. I'm right there with you. But yeah, that's my final thoughts. Let's kick it over to Colin.
Yeah, that's all I've got. We're going to preview game 4 after the interview with Colin. So stick around and listen to that. But other than that, enjoy this interview. This week, we're very happy to welcome on as our special guest and a new friend of the show, a guy who covers the Rangers for Newsday Sports. We're big fans of his work, and we're so happy he's here to break down games 1 through 3 and preview game 4 with us. So welcome to the show, Colin Stephenson. Colin, how's it going?
Oh, it's going well. I mean, I hear you guys have not had great weather this weekend, and you know, you finally saw the sun in Pittsburgh today, so it was nice.
Yeah, we should have added that you are live in Pittsburgh right now. I should have said that in the intro, but... whatever. So how is the whole vibe in the city of Pittsburgh?
You know, I will say this about Pittsburgh. They love their Penguins. They really do. I mean, more probably than a lot of places, because, you know, they don't have the NBA. Let's face it. The Pirates are out of town and the Steelers are out of season. So,
right.
You know, this is what you got. And I think, you know, and the other thing, too, is that they've made the playoffs 16 years in a row. And I think that the fans here take pride in that. And, you know, they really backed their team. So it's a lot of fun. It's really loud in the building for game 3. Somebody was asking me if it was louder than it was in the Garden for 1 and 2. And, you know, I have to say, I think it was.
It sounded really loud from my TV. Mm-hmm. I mean, those, you know,
that horn is so annoying.
Yeah. Yeah,
I hate the Let's Go Pens horn.
The fans really brought it last night. It was you know, it was nice to see. And you know what? The other thing too is, you know, the Rangers fans really travel. So normally you go to these places and a lot of times there's a lot of Ranger fans there. And I don't think there was quite as many there last night as I'm used to seeing on the road. So that made a difference too.
Yeah, cool. And before we get into some more Rangers, I mean, I'd love to start out and you know, how'd you get into writing, and what was it about hockey that really drew you into the sport for those who may not know?
Well, so you should know that I'm an immigrant, right? I came from the West Indies. I come from Jamaica, and we don't have ice in Jamaica. You know, we don't have hockey there. We have field hockey, but we don't have ice hockey. But I, you know, I came at a time this, you know, I'm in my late 50s now. So I came to the States in the 70s, and, you know, I was, you know, I'd grown up watching soccer. And there was soccer here. I think they had the NASL and Cosmos and all that. But it wasn't a big thing. And so, you know, I took to hockey because I saw the similarities. You know, you have a goal at each end, and you got to pass and things like that. And also I thought the skating was cool. So, so that's kind of how I got into hockey. And then, you know, I know I cover the Rangers now, and, you know, but I grew up watching the Islanders quite a bit, and they were winning Stanley Cups in those days. And it was quite exciting. And so I followed the Islanders quite a bit. And then I think that was almost like a golden age for hockey in New York, because it mattered, you know, like the daily newspapers all covered, you know, hockey and the Islanders and the Rangers the one time when they knocked off the Islanders in 79.
Right.
You know, and got a lot of, you know, a lot of media coverage. And I was really all about that. And I just decided, you know, when I went to college and I started getting decent grades in my writing classes and not such good grades in my computer classes, which was my major, I decided to switch to journalism and do that and see if I could be a sports writer. And that's kind of how I got there. But, you know, it was a long time ago. I mean, it's the path to getting there now is a lot different than it was.
Right.
You know, I did it.
Did you go to college in the States?
I did. Yeah. No, I moved to the States in high school. So I grew up in, you know, in New Jersey, and, you know, you can, obviously you don't hear a Jamaican accent because I kind of adopted this one over the last 40 years or however long I've been here.
Well, I don't hear a New Jersey accent either.
Well, that's a tricky one. That's a lot harder to like pick up than, you know, than your basic TV news accent. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I speak on behalf of all Rangers fans. We're happy to have you. So you know, going back to a little hockey here. So what has the intensity been like for these guys? You know, how's it been really being able to cover the Rangers throughout the playoffs for the first time in 5 years? And, you know, what's the vibe of the locker room and so on?
It's, you know what, it's really cool. It's really cool to watch some of these young guys play in the playoffs for the first time. And even it's been 5 years, right? So even the veteran guys, even the Chris Kreider and Mika Zibanejad, who, you know, are the two surviving guys from, or the two remaining guys, I don't want to say surviving, but the two remaining guys from the last playoff Rangers playoff team, it's been 5 years since they've played. So it's been a long time since they've been in it. And, but just to watch the young guys fascinate me, the Kakos and the Heedles and the Lafreniers and the Keandre Millers and the Braden Schneiders, you know, those guys, they fascinate me because they belong, man. I mean, like they, you know, they've never played playoff hockey before. I mean, I guess Kako and Heedle played in the bubble, but I don't think they really consider that to be playoff hockey. So this is a first for all these guys, and you know, they look like they belong, and it's really, really cool to watch. Now, you know, to see, you know, we don't have the access to the players that we did back pre-COVID, right? And we're not in the locker rooms. So we're limited to, you know, press room setting or, you know, press conference like settings, to our access to these guys. Yeah. You know, and it's better than when we did it on Zoom because, you know, you can laugh and joke, you know, I can talk to Truba about his playoff beard coming in nice and stupid stuff like that to kind of make a connection with these guys. But, you know, we're not there every day. So I can't tell you what the locker room actually feels like, but it's easier on the road because we are around a little bit more and we do kind of see them at least walking around the locker room, even if we're not, you know, we're not in the room. So we'll see them in the press box and, you know, you can get a conversation with a guy and stuff. But no, I think, you know, in terms of the vibe, I think they're really, really, we're all just excited to be there. You know, I mean, like they went through this great season, and for those guys who have been here for most of the rebuild or part of the rebuild, you know, they really appreciate this now in a way that maybe they wouldn't have before. Like, you know, the guys that came, Andrew Kopp and Frank Vetrano, those guys were in the playoffs last year. So mm-hmm. it's maybe not, it doesn't mean as much to them, but a guy like Trouba, who's been here now, I guess this is what is a third year.
Yeah.
You know, so he didn't make the playoffs in either the first two, you know, and Panarin, same thing. It means a lot more to those guys to kind of be here and play at the time of year that everybody wants to play at, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nonetheless, playing in a really intense series for sure. So.
Yeah. And this was the matchup, by the way, I think that we all wanted, if you're a Ranger fan, right?
We all wanted it. Yeah.
maybe not those of us that are reporters, you know, my son goes to college in Washington. So I was kind of hoping for Washington. You know,
oh yeah.
Get a free trip to go see him. But beyond that, no, I think this was the matchup. I think most people thought was the best matchup for the Rangers just because Tristan Jarry was injured. So, you know, you knew that they were going to go with a backup goalie just because, you know, they've, you know, let's face it. They lost in the first round last year to the Islanders. They lost in the preliminary round, the bubble. They didn't even make it to the 16-team playoff. I mean, they got bounced in the qualifying series. And the year before that, they got swept in the first round by the Islanders. So, you know, it's had the look of a team that's kind of aging, you know.
Right.
Crosby's 34 now. He's going to be 35 in the summer. You know, Chris Letang is 35. You know, so it had the feel of a team that's really aging and kind of hanging on. And their goaltending was always a question. So, it kind of seemed, you know, when you looked at it beforehand that, you know, this is the matchup you want. This is the team that's vulnerable and probably gives you the best chance to advance. And, you know, so far it's not necessarily working out like that. Louis Domingue has stepped in and kind of, you know, played better than I think any of us could have reasonably expected him to.
Mm-hmm. And obviously the playoffs are a whole different, you know, type of animal. And something that I kind of stressed on in the regular season with Cody and on this show is that the Penguins only scored 1 5-on-5 goal in 4 games against the Rangers. And now through 3 playoff games, we've seen the Penguins pretty much dominate the 5-on-5 play for the most part, at least. What do you think has been the biggest difference? I know there's been like a lot of defensive breakdowns and maybe Igor hasn't been wasn't his best in game 3, but he was stellar in games 1 and 2. But what do you think has changed through the course of the regular season to now? Is it just that playoff intensity? Like I don't understand how, you know, the Penguins just look dominant right now, where in the regular season, it was pretty much all Rangers at 5-on-5.
Well, I got two words for you, Sidney Crosby.
Mm-hmm.
The guy, he's had a fabulous series, but it's only 3 games old, right? So,
yeah,
it can, you know, and that's the beauty of playoff hockey. Anything can change and go 180 degrees at any time. But he's been great for these first 3 games, and he's been better in these 3 games than he was in the four games in the regular season. You know, he was fine. He's Sidney Crosby. I mean, you know, you don't want to overlook a guy like that, but he's been really, really good. And if you look at, you know, I mean, they didn't score a goal last night until the empty netter by Gensel, but,
right.
But they had that line had 5 out of their first 6 goals. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, figuring out how to stop Sidney Crosby was a big problem. And you know, even again, I go back to last season, you know, he wasn't this good against the Islanders. He wasn't, you know, I don't remember. I didn't see their qualifying loss 2 years ago, but I saw the Islanders playoff in 2019 and he wasn't nearly this good either. So he's playing some great hockey right now. Probably better than he's played, you know, at least in the last couple of playoffs at least. So I think that's the biggest thing. And then, you know, I think that they've gotten better goaltending than we've expected, you know, I mean,
right.
Like the Smith, you know, went in there and, you know, listen, I don't have the, you know, if you know, I mean, I was on some of, you know, Andrew Gross's Islanders podcasts last year. And, you know, people who listen to that know that I don't have the highest opinion of Tristan Jarry to start with. I will say that he had a great season this year. So, you know, I didn't have much of a great opinion of him last year. I didn't think he was good enough, and he certainly wasn't. But he had a great season this year, and then he got hurt. So, you know, I mean, you don't expect that the backup goalie is going to beat you when you have Igor Shesterkin in your net.
Right.
So,
and,
you know, I think to some degree they've kind of caught the Rangers by surprise, and they've got Sidney Crosby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that I guess that's why Crosby was, you know, the best player in the league for a really long time. But
still the smartest.
Yeah.
I mean, so he was the best, right? And now he's not the best because he's almost 35 years old and, you know, Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews and all these guys, but he's still really, really good.
I know. And you had mentioned anything can change in this series. So what do you think are a few positives that our team can really take away from game three and apply it to game four and for the rest of the series moving forward?
One thing that, you know, we talked about the young guys earlier. I mean, the young guys got their first goal in game three, right? Which is Kako.
Kako.
And not only did he get the goal, but he got the goal in a way like he shot the puck off the rush, which, you know, to me is a sign that, okay, he's taking it seriously now. He's going to shoot the puck because he's been overpassing in the first few games, first couple of games, right? I mean, you agree with me on that, right? I mean, he's passed when he probably should have shot. I mean, he's a guy who can hold the puck. I mean, he's very strong on the puck and he creates a lot of stuff just because he's able to do that. But sometimes you want him to shoot the puck and he holds it a little bit too long. So the fact that he shot the puck off the rush last night to me is a good sign. Now, is that the only sign? No. Andrew Kopp has a goal in every game, right? Yeah. So that's a guy who's playing well right now and he plays with Panarin. So, I mean, I think everything's in place. And then here's the other thing. You know, Igor. Igor is going to bounce back from this. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just know it, right? I mean, he gets pulled after the first game. You know he didn't like that. Well, you know it's probably the best thing for him because he's seen so many shots in the first two games.
Got to be gassed.
And he wasn't really, you know, he got a little scrambly there. You know, he wasn't catching the puck cleanly, and he was you know, fudging around and flailing around and giving up rebounds he doesn't give up. So I think it was a smart play to pull him, right? And, you know, he watches the last two periods and, you know, we all know what to expect, that this guy's going to be really, really good tomorrow night, Monday, you know, when they play in game four. And so if you have Igor playing at the level that you're used to seeing, then all things are possible.
Yeah. And I think the kid line has really looked fantastic. Johnny knows firsthand. I've been a little critical of Hedl in the past throughout the season, but I mean, I think he's playing some really good all-around hockey, and they just need to really keep chipping away, and like more goals will follow for sure. And so you did mention Igor, and Johnny and I actually talked about this before. Is that Chris Kreider quote that came out true, where he said, you know, chanting Igor's name may have been a mistake on their part? We'll see. I didn't hear that.
It's entirely possible it's true. He didn't say that in the press conference last night. So I don't know if he may have said that.
Yeah. Probably just the group chat.
I think he, you know, if he said that, I mean, I think he may be right. I mean,
yeah. Fuel the fire.
You know, it's crazy. Like, but again, this is what makes it fun, right? I mean, you know, the fans were having fun. Like literally he made his first save and they were going Igor, like, I'm like, we're a minute into the game and the guy made a routine save. Where are you going with this? But, you know, I mean, it'll be interesting to see, because I'm pretty sure they're going to have some fun with him again. You know, like now he got pulled and they cheered when, you know, and Georgiev was announced as, you know, now in goal for the Rangers. So they'll have some fun with him. And I think he'll have some fun with them too.
Igor's mad.
Yeah.
The most annoying thing, though, is that Ranger fans can't even come back with something in game five because Domingue is such a hard name to, like, chant. You can't even say Domingue sucks. It doesn't flow well.
Here's the interesting thing.
Crosby sucks, exactly.
I told you guys, we went out last night after the game, and we were in a local establishment, and I was talking to a Penguins fan, right? Mm-hmm. And he was asking me, like, you know, who, like, if the Garden fans were, like, you know, getting on people, you know, on the Penguins the same way the Penguins fans were getting on Igor. And I said, no, I don't think so, because I think Ranger fans are so focused on their team that they don't have time to be booing your players necessarily.
Right.
Like, you know, you boo Crosby, which I don't really understand, but I kind of understand. I guess people think he whines to the refs and he gets some calls, and so they boo him.
We've hated him forever.
But I don't think Ranger fans typically spend a lot of energy like worrying about the other team. Like, you kind of worry about your own team is what I think. Isn't that
that's
right?
That's what Knicks fans do.
Yeah.
We do the Trae Young sucks because the Knicks don't win.
Guy to come play for them next year, right? That's how the Knicks go.
I'm laughing while you're telling me you guys went out. I just picture Vince like walking around every city you guys go to with like his notepad out with every restaurant in the entire city
he's unstoppable. He gets off the plane and the first thing he's thinking, where am I going to have breakfast? It's crazy.
Oh my gosh, she cracks me up. But yeah, so I did want to ask, with Lindgren being hurt, you know, Braun's really stepped in nicely these last two games. But Nemeth, on the other hand, has really been struggling this series. Do you think it's possible we might see Zach Jones in game four if Lindgren is a no-go?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready for that. But if Lindgren's ready to go.
Yeah, Nemeth's out.
I think that, I think Braun stays in.
Right.
And Nemeth comes out. I don't know if you can, trust a Zach Jones or a Hayek or. I don't know. I mean, maybe Zach Jones, because he's played with Schneider down on the farm a little bit. I don't think they were partners regularly, but I mean, sure they played together.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know, man. It seems like a big stage to put in a guy, every time I would look at Zach Jones too. I mean, I love the way he plays, but he's so small, man. Yeah. I have my reservations. So no, I don't know if I can go with you there, but I definitely think if Lindgren's ready to go, or whenever Lindgren's ready to go, I would think it's Nemeth who comes out rather than
right.
Mm-hmm. And while we're talking about the defenseman, there's someone that I want to bring up that hasn't even been talked about yet, which to me is kind of nuts. But in my mind, I think the best player in the series, he might not have the stats for it, but it's been Adam Fox. So many people ask me, like, everyone just like kind of assumes that the Rangers offense flows through Panarin, but I always make the argument that it starts with Fox. Like, he's the first player to break out the puck and he's the last guy to keep it in the zone. And I think the Rangers forwards trust when he's out there, knowing that he's out there to keep the puck alive. And they don't necessarily, get on their horse to get on the back check, 'cause they know Fox is there to, keep the puck in and possess the puck. So for you, I mean, I said it to Cody, I'll admit it. He was the guy that I was most concerned about going to the series, just because, he's a hometown kid. He grew up a Ranger fan, his first playoff series as a Ranger. He's a Norris Trophy winner. All the attention is going to be on him. And they've been physical with him. They've killed him. Jason Zucker laid him out in game three, which for me, I'm a Jewish kid. It was a proud Jew on Jew crime, which was kind of funny in the NHL. But, for Ranger fans, I guess, or just, the people in general, like, how much more can Adam step up his game? Because I feel like he still needs to go to that extra level for this team to go on a run.
Well, I think he's been great. Mm-hmm. Let's say that. I agree with you. He's been great. And I think he's been assertive, right? So that's the thing. That's the thing that I think maybe the second half of the season, he wasn't quite as assertive as he's being right now. And I don't, we all speculated as to whether, he was injured or, he was feeling a little sore from something that was bothering him or what. Mm-hmm. If you look at the numbers, I ran the numbers. He had 44 points in his first, 41 games or whatever it was. And then he had 29 in his last 34 games or something
right.
like that. So he was more than a point per game and then less than a point per game in the second half after the injury. So we were all speculating that maybe that there was some nagging little thing that was sort of holding him back a little bit. But, if there was, it seems to be gone, or he's figured out how to live with it, because he's been great in the first three games of the series. And you're right, they have been physical with him. And that's the book. They're not the first teams to do that. Mm-hmm. Everybody tries to do that. I mean, and you try and hit the guy that you think is the star if you can.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, is there another level for him though? I mean, it's hard to imagine that there is, right? It's a matter of, he's making plays and creating chances, and it's just a matter of,
finishing.
Yeah. I mean, Kopp's got three goals in this series. Vetrano has two goals. Kreider has two goals.
Mika, though. Mika's been scoreless.
We need to get Mika on the scoreboard if he's the Rangers, right?
Yeah, he needs to get involved. And it's funny because Adam Fox, I mean, his IQ is just like a 200. He's the definition of, I'm playing chess while you're playing checkers.
He's Crosby. He's Crosby on the blue line.
It's amazing. But one other defenseman who I think has had a really good series and who really doesn't get talked enough talked about enough is Keandre Miller.
Yeah.
That one-on-one takedown of Malkin was probably my favorite play of the entire series so far. Mm. It was awesome. But I know we had just mentioned Mika, so I did, you know, want to find out, is there any other player you have in mind that really needs to get going for the rest of this series to help this team advance for the next, for the second round?
Well, I think it is Mika. I mean, right? You know, and it's not that he's not to say that he's not playing well, because, you know, look, most of the time he's up against Crosby. So a lot of the time he's focused on, you know, stopping Crosby rather than, you know, getting his own offense. You know, he's got to stop Crosby first before he can get his own offense. So we'll see. Uh-huh. And then, you know, and in game three, you know, he had a couple of shots that Domingue, you know, man, one, I remember, like, you know, of course Domingue catches with the other hand. Right. Mm-hmm. So normally, you know, when Mika's shooting that one timer from the left
blocker
circle
side, yeah,
you know, he's shooting blocker side. And in this case, it's glove side, but, and I think there was one on the power play where I think Domingue just kind of threw his body over there. Like, instead of reaching out and snagging it with the glove, he just, I don't know, somehow he just threw his whole body over there and got it.
That was like late in the third. That was like 10 minutes left.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, the point being that, you know, I think it'll come with Mika, right? Because I think Mika's got a consistent game. Like, he's there. I mean, he's not a hot and cold guy. He's a pretty consistent player normally. So if he's getting the chances, eventually, you know, one or two of them will go in. So I don't necessarily worry about him, but, you know, it would be nice if you're the Rangers to have one of those go in and any day now. That'd be fine. Obviously they're down 2-1 in the series, you know, game four. If you're going to win the series, now would be a good time to, you know, for all these things to, you know,
start clicking.
I want to piggyback on that note, actually. So if the Rangers lose in seven, let's say they get to seven and lose, or I guess if they lose in six, it's kind of a different story, but if they get to seven and lose, is the season still a success or is it a complete failure?
I think
if they lose in six, it's a failure, but if they get to seven and experience a game seven, there's something to take away from it.
I don't think it'll be a complete, you know, complete failure is a big, big statement.
Probably exaggeration on my part.
Golden Knights.
Yeah. Disappointment for sure. I mean, I think we all expected them to win at least a round, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just the way they've played this year, and they've met every challenge. So, I mean, I wouldn't think, you know, just because they're down 2-1 in the series doesn't mean
Rangers in six.
You know, should be like up 2-1 goal interference.
Yeah. I mean, I picked them to win in five, obviously. So that's by the boards, but I mean, there's no reason to believe that they can't win in six or seven, but yeah, you know, I don't, at the end of the day, if they don't win the series, you know, it'll depend on how it goes. Like, you know, can you blame losing Goudreau and Lindgren for however long you lose him as the big reason? I don't know. I don't know if he can do that.
Yeah.
Not when the Penguins, you know, are playing without their number one goalie and their number two goalie, and they don't have Dumoulin and they don't have Raquel and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So I don't know. I don't know. It's an interesting question. Like, I hadn't really considered it. I just fully expect them to win the series. So
yeah.
I love the attitude. I love the attitude. I'm right there with you. And
I don't mean to come off as a pessimist.
No, it's interesting. Like, you know, I actually am not rooting for them. Right. I mean, I'm neutral and I'm just observing. So I really should consider that possibility as well. I just hadn't, because it just doesn't make sense to me that they would lose. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, they've had a really, really good season. And every time that they were challenged, you know, they've lost two games in a row. They haven't lost three games in a row all season. Boom. They win the third, you know, they win that game. You know what I mean? Or I remember one time there was, I forget where we were. We were on the road somewhere. And I think they must've lost to Colorado. And at that time, and we didn't bring it up. You know, Barclay Goudreau brought it up to us in the post game. We got to beat a good team. So that was clearly something that they were talking about in the locker room. And, you know, because they'd gotten beat by Colorado on the road. They got smoked by them at home. Mm-hmm. You know, Calgary had smoked them two times. And so, like, you know, he's like, yeah, we got to beat a good team. And then they come back and they beat Tampa Bay or whoever it was.
Yeah, and Carolina, so back-to-back nights.
Every challenge that they've been presented with, they've met. So I don't see this as any different.
Yeah. And you had mentioned Goodrow a few times, and obviously things aren't looking too promising for him, unfortunately. When do you think we could see Tyler Mott back? Is it possible this series if we, you know, if we take it to six or seven?
You know, that's according to Gallant, you know, it is possible. We asked him about Mott today, and Mott is not on the trip. Mm-hmm. On Friday, I think when he spoke to reporters, he wasn't sure whether Mott would make the trip. He didn't, but he is skating. So, you know, if he's skating, I think his injury was an upper body injury.
Right.
And he's skating. So, you know, he could, but, you know, I mean, I don't know that, you know, this is not getting back. This is a fourth line player, you know, and a penalty killer. He's an energy guy. He certainly will help, but I don't know that we're looking to him to kind of turn things around, but, you know, you never know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we need to start with Lindgren and then go from there for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be, to me, that'd be, you know, get him back first and then that should make a big difference.
Mm-hmm. I want to step away from the series just for 1 second, because this is a question that I was asked that I didn't really know how to answer, but I'm kind of leaning toward yes as opposed to no. If Chris Kreider doesn't win a Stanley Cup in his career, does his number get retired as a Ranger one day? Just simply because of the year he's had and his tenure with the team.
Yeah, I think so.
That's so. A lock?
They like that. I mean, I don't know about a lock. I mean, yeah, you know, somebody, you want to, I had an old sports editor, you know, way back when I was, you know, when I was new at this, who said, you never called, you know, because we had a habit of writing such and such future Hall of Famer. And he says, you know, you never do that because, mm-hmm. you know, the example he gave to me was everybody would have thought Pete Rose would be in the Hall of Fame. So, mm-hmm. you know, Pete Rose, for whatever, you know, I mean, it's, he's not there because he didn't play well. He's not there because, you know, because of other stuff. So, mm-hmm. I mean, stuff could happen. Kreider's just turned 31. If he stays on this track, yeah, I would think it's, his number is going to go up. I mean, you know, he's going to be here for another few years and he probably play into his mid to late 30s. Leadership, all that kind of stuff, 52 goals this year. Yeah, I'd say it's going up. I mean, unless something happens that, you know, he leaves the organization on a bad note mm-hmm. somehow, but I don't foresee that happening. So, yeah, I would think that's a good question. But I think it's going up.
I had the same thought. I was like, if he retired tomorrow, I still think it would go up.
Tomorrow yeah. might be a little bit. Let's retire him tomorrow, okay?
I exaggerate.
So since we're off the topic of the series for a little bit, if you could go back in time to witness any single moment in hockey history, what moment would you teleport to?
Probably, you know, I would like to see the Bobby Orr goal.
Okay.
Where he goes airborne. That's probably yeah. the one. And I, you know, listen, memories of things, you know, the game's different. Athletes are better. You know, athletes are much more capable of doing things that, you know, guys weren't capable of doing back in the early 70s and stuff. But he changed the game so mm-hmm. much. And, you know, he was the first defenseman to score 100 points. And, mm-hmm. you know, that play is so iconic that, you know, to go back and witness it, I think would, you know, witness that would be cool. Because I've seen a lot of stuff. You know, I was covering the game when, you know, when Gretzky scored 92 goals or whatever it is. You know, I was covering a game when you know, I watched Mario Lemieux, you know, he'd scored a point in 46 games. And I was there the night when the streak ended, actually. It ended against the Rangers. So,
oh, wow.
You know, I've seen a lot of cool stuff.
That's awesome.
You know, I wasn't there the night when he scored 5 goals against, who was it, the Devils? And, you know, it was like a penalty shot, shorthanded.
Farm yeah, play. That's sick. That's
yeah. That would have been cool.
That's awesome.
But I kind of feel like I saw those guys. I saw a lot of Gretzky, like the second back half of his career. I saw almost all of Mario's career. I saw, you know, just about all of Jaromir Jagr's career. So I've seen a lot of that stuff. So if I'm going to go back and see something I haven't seen, that's the moment, I think.
Love that. And I know we're getting a little close, John. So you want to do one more each?
Yeah. Can we do one more question each? Is that cool?
Of course. Bring it.
I guess I got to give a shout out to my good friend, Molly Walker. And she did tell me to bring up some stories on the road. Is there anything that's podcast appropriate you can talk about? I feel like we don't get to know the media members. You guys provide us with knowing the players. I think people want to get to know you guys a little more.
I will say this. I have said this to Molly on several occasions. I said it to her again today. She should stop with this journalism stuff and just go become a comedian, because she makes me laugh every day. I mean, she's really, you know, she's, you know, so here's the thing about Molly and I. We're like kind of from the same part of North Jersey. Mm-hmm. And so that's, I think, that's probably got a lot to do with how, why we're as close as we are. Cause she grew up, she lives probably 10 or 15 minutes away from where I live.
Where are you from? Bergen County. She's from Bergen County, right? Yeah.
That's where she's from. That's where I'm from.
Yeah.
So, so we get along great that way. And it's really cool to watch her when she goes to these places for the first time, like how enthusiastic she is. You know, I've been to Detroit, you know what I mean? Like, but like, she gets a real kick out of going to these places for the first time. We went to Montreal the first time, and they have like, like a little drawing of the Stanley Cup on the sidewalk around the building and stuff. And she thought it was the coolest thing. Oh, wow, they have this little, and she's like taking pictures of it. And I'm just looking at her like, what are you doing, man? Like, but no, but the you know,
for the Instagram photo dump.
The best Molly story is this, and it's her story to tell, but I'm just going to put it out there. You know, next time you have her on, you should ask her about it. Mm-hmm. She's never late for anything. She's always early for everything. And one time she actually got to the airport, realized she forgot something at the hotel, had enough time to go back to the hotel, get the thing that she forgot, make it back to the airport, and make the flight, which tells you just how early she was.
3 hours. I mean,
she's insane that way. But no, we have a good time. Me, her, and Vince, we have a good time going around. And you know, the old guy, the middle guy who's a new father, and this young girl who, you know, really is just you know, really, really enjoying it first time around. And it's a lot of fun to kind of see.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Definitely sounds like a fun bunch. I guess my last question, you know, going back to the Rangers a little bit, the Rangers are clearly a very cat restricted team in the next offseason.
Yeah.
You know, we have quite a few big decisions to make on guys like Kopp, Strome, Vetrano. So what do you think our top six will look like next season?
Yeah, so that's interesting. And that's one of the things too that makes this playoff to me even that more crucial, because you know, they had space this year to go get Vetrano, go get Kopp, and go get Mott and Braun. And I don't think they'll have that kind of space next year's deadline to go get those guys, right? So it's quite possible that this team now is better than whatever next year's team's going to look like if you consider that they won't have all these guys. Mm-hmm. But that is interesting. I mean, you know, can they find a way to keep both Kopp and Strome? I you know, it's hard for me to see them doing that.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, at this particular moment, I'm not sure which one I would keep, you know, because as much as I like Ryan Strome, and as much as I think, you know, he's got this connection with Panarin, which I think is invaluable. Mm-hmm. I like Kopp too. I mean, he's bigger. He's better at faceoffs, and he gives you a lot of the same stuff. So I don't know which way, you know, Chris Drury is going to go. I don't know if there's a way that maybe he can, you know, somehow trade some salary off and then find a way to keep them both or get them both to take less. I don't know how creative he's going to be. I don't know, you know, certainly I wouldn't expect that Kopp, Vetrano, and Strome are going to be here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, enjoy it now, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I don't know. I mean, who do you think? I mean, if you know, you guys watch it as much as I do. Like,
yeah,
you know, if you had to choose between Kopp and Strome right now, I mean, who do you sign?
I think at this point, knowing Kopp will be close to a million cheaper, and I mean, watching them, like, you can't say, you know, Strome's been performing better than Kopp has at this point in time, based on what we've seen from Kopp. So as much as I like Strome too, I think I'm leaning a little more towards Kopp, especially if it gives you a little wiggle room to try and figure something out with Vetrano. I think, you know, having Kopp and Vetrano on the team is a lot more important than just having Strome for the future. But then another aspect is, like, maybe it's possible something doesn't work out with Kopp or Strome and they sign Vetrano and then look elsewhere with someone else. So
yeah, there's other guys out there, right?
Right.
Yeah, no, it's going to be an interesting off season.
Malkin.
It's one of those things where we all know what's coming after the season. And so, you know, let's just, you know, if you're the Rangers and if you're a Ranger fan, I think you want the season to go as far as it can go.
Mm-hmm. So last thing, I think just to wrap it up, this is coming out at midnight. So game four is tonight as people are listening. Give us one goal scorer and your final score prediction for game four.
Oh, one goal scorer. I'm going to say Mika's going to get on the board.
Love that.
Agree. And I would say I'm looking at like a 4-1. Because I think Igor is going to be super motivated. He's going to be rested, and I think he's going to be great.
He's going to shut him up.
Okay. I like it. You heard it here first. I'm sticking with my boy Trouba. I think he's due.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's fine, too. You know, I had no problem with that.
And I'll say Hedl. Maybe all three of them will score.
All right. I like the Rangers win, though. But, yeah, this was great, Colin. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on. I had a lot of fun. So, you know, hold on to my number and, you know, we can do it again.
Will Definitely. Do. Have a safe trip back to the city.
All right, man. Thanks very much. Have a good night. Right.
We really want to thank Colin Stephenson once again for joining the show. Such an awesome conversation with him. Cody, let's go into game four. I'll start with you. What are your predictions? What are your thoughts?
My predictions are Igor is going to post a 60 save shutout, 8-0 Rangers. And no, I'm just kidding. Johnny just didn't even flinch. Like nope. that was a dead serious prediction.
Well, I was saying you were joking.
Okay. Okay. I think Igor is going to have a really big bounce back game. I think he's pissed as hell that the fans were giving him some shit game one. And you know, they kind of got the better of him a little bit. I think he's going to have a really good game, really strong game, going to be focused. Like I tweeted this last week, he's probably going to be in the locker room blasting Lose Yourself for real this time. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have to go with, I want to say 5-1 Rangers. I think they're going to have a really dominant win, but I'm going to go 4-1. Copy Colin's answer.
Yeah, that's what Colin just said.
I know. I'm a copycat. Yeah. What's your thoughts?
Well, do you also want to talk about your player to watch or player to focus on aside from
Mika? Yeah. I know we went into Mika a little bit. I think one player to watch for me, though, has to be Lafreniere. I think he's actually had a really strong three games so far. He's been very physical, which I love to see from him. And he's been hard on the forecheck, which is that confidence we've talked about for the longest time. And I think he's finally getting there. I just think he needs to trust his shot and shoot. Like they're giving so many feeds, like Kako too. So it's great that, you know, Kako finally gave it to, you know, Hedl gave it to him and he shot it. It was like great to see that because the first two games they were just feeding Hedl like every single time they could. And Hedl's not really a finisher. So like, you know, I would love to see Lafreniere and even some more of Kako just get that stuff and get that shit in the net. Like just start ripping it away. And if they can do that, I mean, this line is going to be dangerous for game four.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, I have my eye on them, and I'll say my prediction is actually going to be, I don't want to say the S word, but I'm going to say 2-0. I think it's going to be one of those games. Are you thinking about the S word? Don't say it out loud. It's a hockey, what's the word I'm looking for? Superstition. Superstition. Yeah. You never say the S word out loud. So I think it's going to be 2-0 Rangers, you know, similar to like, not necessarily similar to the game in Carolina where they won 2-0, but like, I think the Penguins are going to, you know, pepper
that
Igor a little
scares
bit.
Me, dude.
Yeah. They're going to pepper Igor again. But I think the key to this game is just getting out of the first period, either tied or with a lead, because if they're down going to the second period again, it's just so hard to come from behind in playoff games. Mm-hmm. I feel very good about this game if they come out of the first 20 with the game tied or with like a 1-goal lead or like obviously with a 3-goal lead or 4-goal lead, but, And the player I'm going to focus on, obviously, like this isn't really an out of the ordinary one, but I'm going to say Adam Fox. You know, I have to, because I really thought they went after him last game and they tried to intimidate him a little more than I think they did in game one and game two. So I'm curious.
Is last game the game where they got to him and he high six someone? Was that game three? Yeah, that was game three, right?
He took like two penalties, I think.
Yeah, they got to him a little bit for sure.
He's taking more penalties, I think, in the series than he did all regular season.
Yeah, he's getting. I mean, listen, what do you expect? Like it's playoffs. It's that high intensity, you know, situation, and he hasn't dealt with it before to this extent. So it's like it definitely can get on your nerves. There's nothing, like I said, there's nothing this kid can't do. Mm-hmm. He's really playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers. So I think if he just sticks to his game, I mean, he's going to keep performing and. and keep playing smart. To me, him and Panarin have been just unbelievable. I know Panarin had a rough first game, but like games 2 and 3, in my opinion, I think he was the best player on the ice both games. Like just every time he has the puck, I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. That's who I'm watching. But that's really all I got for game 4. Do you have any final thoughts?
I love you, Mom. It's Mother's Day.
Yeah, we should. We hope everyone had a happy Mother's Day yesterday. Also, love you, Mom. I don't even know if my mom listens to this anymore, but I do love you, Mama.
My mom can't name one hockey player, but she says we sound great.
Yay. Good for us. Go us.
Yay us.
But also, we do want to thank Colin once again. If you don't follow him or read his stuff, go check him out. He does a great job covering the Rangers for Newsday. We'll hopefully get him back on in the near future. But we do have another episode coming after Game 5. Cody's going to be at Game 5, so we're going to record that after the game. Hopefully it's 2-2 going back to MSG. And, we'll talk to you guys on Thursday.
Rangers in 6. Let's go.
Rangers in 6. We'll be right back.